Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Very V-A-R-Y Necessary Podcast.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, that's what we're doing? Oh, we doing wave.
Everybody do wave. Hey. I'm ready for football season.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Just had draft pick.
Yeah.
Are you excited about the draft? It's a long process.
Well, you know, I watch it, of course. I love watching because I used to follow like a lot of the college guys, but nobody from HBCU was drafted.
Really? So far? Because they still...
No, it's over.
It's over. Mm-hmm. It was over yesterday.
Yeah, it was over yesterday. Oh. Nobody from HBCU. Some signed for free agents, so congratulations that, but nobody... HBCU.
Well, hopefully when the season starts, that can change.
Yeah.
So a lot of them
was free. Yeah, it was free agents. So a lot of them came in as undrafted free agents.
None.
This is like the third.
But if you're a free agent, don't you get the most money?
Well, they said that's the best thing to do. They say sometimes when you're an undrafted free agent, it's better. So they can negotiate better. So I do believe a young man from South Carolina State did get a call, and then some people from, well, USC is not a HBCU, but some people was invited to the camp. So, but I'm ready.
Why does it matter if it's an HBCU or not?
Because
they're always at the bottom of the totem pole. Yeah. They're never.
I don't think looks at them as much.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Because they feel like if you go to a powerhouse or, you know, usually the PWI schools are predominantly white institutions.
Oh, okay.
So
whitey.
Yeah. So usually they say they do not get the recognition. HBCUs don't, you know, but
they don't get the television time. Yeah. They don't get a lot of scouts that come that way.
Right.
So
you have to be phenomenal. Like, for example, from my school, Grover Stewart, he's part of the Indianapolis Colts. Like, he was just phenomenal on the field, and he was drafted in fourth round, which is good for HBCU a couple of years ago. But it's like you just have to really work hard and stand out.
And is that not Black America?
Right.
Oh yeah.
So
right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because what was the thing that I posted about? What's the show you used to watch with the chick with the president? She was having sex with the
Scandal.
Scandal. Yeah. Remember her daddy cussed her out at the airport?
Yes, God.
And was like,
"No, that's my man."
Yeah.
Joe Moore.
So I was like, your daddy done told you.
Right.
You got to work 10 times harder than everybody.
Yep.
And please don't think you privileged because you around here fucking the president.
Right.
Right.
So
he had to remind her.
Just in Black America, if you make the decision to go to the HBCU, which you know nobody's really going
don't
to
be surprised
right.
if you don't get the.
Right. But also, that should push you even more that because I know, you know, I'm at the end of the line, I got to shine way brighter
right.
than all of these right. other ones.
Absolutely.
So I just kind of think.
Go ahead.
I don't think you should accept the fact that I'm Black and I got to work 10 times harder, but
right.
I don't want you to be oblivious to
right.
you're Black and you have to shine and work 10 times harder.
Right. And so what I was about to say
is. It's an oxymoron there.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when Deion Sanders, when he went to coach at Jackson State, everybody thought, okay, maybe we're getting somewhere. Maybe, you know, Deion Sanders can push the HBCUs, which he kind of did. Mm-hmm. He pushed it a little up. But as soon as he got another job at Colorado, it was like it just plummeted down. So.
And you know, they was probably talking
shit. Right. Oh,
because,
of course, man.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I went straight to Twitter. As soon as the draft was over, as soon as they named Mr. Irrelevant, I went straight to Twitter because I knew they was going to start going off about, you know.
Oh, talking about Deion.
His decision.
No. You talking about Deion's
Deion
decision.
Sanders.
Okay, I was talking
just
about
the draft. Just saying how he made his decision to go from a Black school to a white school.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they ripped
he
into him.
Got
oh, they ripped
like
into
crazy.
Him.
Yeah,
they ripped into him big time.
Well, can I interject here for a second?
Yes,
Mr. Engineer.
The issue I think that is not being addressed, especially when you're talking about the HBCUs, is the lack of one yes, we should have Black Pride, but we should also pay people the way they deserve to be paid.
Exactly.
That's what I was about to say.
That's why that man left Jackson.
And that's why he left Jackson
and went to Colorado.
Because Colorado.
Again.
Exactly. They opened up
the book. But now Yoshi Man let them know that Colorado did not have the money for Dion at first.
And but they found
it. But they found it.
Yeah, they found it. But they had the script. They had the script.
They had the script. But I'm saying if Jackson State valued.
Jackson State.
If they valued him as much as that, they would have scraped it up too. Some of the people that are, some of the people I say that were ripping him that were Jackson State alum, let's say that. Why didn't y'all find the money to pay him? And then not only that, but then we talk about the difference between HBCUs and PWIs. Yeah. PWIs, when it comes to NIL deals, have more money than HBCUs.
That,
so an HBCU cannot pay a kid. Let's say, like, I had a kid go out to a particular school. HBCU was after him because he was in the transfer portal, and another a PWI went after him, and they offered him $100,000 for the year in NIL money. And the HBCU coach literally told me, said, "I cannot come anywhere near
close to that. I mean, they struggle with enrollment and keeping the schools open as it is.
And that's why when Yoshi Man said, like, alumni, you have to give back.
And that comes from us, though.
Like, what I'm saying.
I am a product of an HBCU, and I do what I can to give back to my HBCU, but there's so many of my classmates that blame the school itself for whatever it is that they didn't get in life. I should have went to a PWI.
Are you contributing back to the school?
Exactly. And they're not. They come back for homecoming. But as far as
even put in for that.
And it may not be a homecoming
It may not be a school, because if you notice, look what happened to St. Augustine University. And you know, we know somebody who graduated from St. Aug.
Yeah.
Their school has now been taken over. It's some stuff going on in Tennessee right now. As a product of an HBCU myself, and you all know that I support dearly my school.
Go Rams.
I give back. I'm not going to get on my soapbox, but an incident occurred last year and it ticked me off so bad. And I compared my HBCU, which is what they would consider a medium HBCU, to another quote unquote smaller HBCU private, that we couldn't even raise a certain amount of money for homecoming. And then this one school, their sorority raised the money that we couldn't even raise.
For that school.
And the other school, their alum, they gave over $1 million.
Hold on. It wasn't because they couldn't raise it.
They didn't.
Hold on. Right. It wasn't because they couldn't raise it. And maybe they did. It's the problem that all these damn black colleges and universities, the money just get missing.
Misappropriating funds. Yes.
Right. And then where are y'all putting y'all efforts in? So what you're saying as well. So see, when you got misappropriation going into y'all not doing shit the right way and putting the effort where it needs to be put at, it's always going to be a lack.
It is. And look, and we got, let me tell you, Auburn State just cleared a whole group of administration two presidents ago. Like, they cleared house. They cleaned house, I mean, from financial aid on up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see the difference. And you can tell where scholarships are going now. You can tell where money is going now. But see, now the alum, we were just looking at, they'll do this with the money. Okay, now we're seeing what they're doing with the money. What's your excuse for not giving back? We could not raise $100,000 for homecoming. There was no excuse for that. Even if you could give $5. And we have some notable alum, and I must say that they did help, all of them. The young man that I talked about that's in the NFL, Rick Ross helped, everybody helped. You know what I'm saying? But we have to give back. We have to give back just like that institution gave back. They gave over $1 million plus. And then you had one sorority that gave the $100,000, over $100,000 for that. You know, this is just one sorority.
So let me ask you this. You as an alumni, because I follow how USC does it with my mother. My mother graduated from USC, which is a PWI. So every year they send her like a sponsorship letter.
Yep.
Like, hey, alumni,
Yep.
We're raising money for so-and-so. And they send the documentation back on this is where, and they, you could check off mm-hmm. where you want parts of your donation to go. This 100% yep. here, 50% here, whatever. Same. So do y'all get that same?
Same thing. I got it right now because I am a part of the Alumni Association. My mother is, my aunt is. I'm sure if y'all been following the show, y'all know majority of my family graduated from Albany State. They send every year. They have a Giving Tuesday. They even have random. You can even give 1903 because that was the year that Albany State was founded. You can give 1903 a month.
I'm not understanding why isn't this mandatory?
Well, you can't.
You can't make anybody do anything, but
I guess it's your choice.
If you give people the choice to do something,
mm-hmm. it's a choice. And like you said, Yoshi, because even my son is, he is going into his last year mm-hmm. at USC. They even sent us asking, could they give? And I don't mind giving back because it is, you know, it's been a great institution. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing that we do it, that we have fundraisers. We have all this stuff. And that's why last year I was just so, I guess, disappointed in the school and in that we could not give back.
But you know that
the money
that correlates with outside of the schools and colleges. Think about events that we try to put on.
Right.
Think about and you look at the others. Fundraising activities, the dinners, the, you know,
sponsorships. Yeah.
Yeah. The one night in under the stars, you know, mm-hmm. whatever the theme is. And then we have to beg and force and plea with our friends and family to support the cause that we're trying to do for the same thing.
Everybody yeah. got something to say,
but
when it's time to put the fucking money up,
it's
everybody look where everybody hands at.
No, the hands ain't, the eyes big.
You're talking to me.
Look where my hands at, because you want something for nothing.
Right.
Right.
You wanna brag and boast about, oh, we went to this, you know, the homecoming was great. Let's even take it off homecoming. This was great. That was great. But this could have been done. Or I felt some kind of way about this. Mm-hmm. Well, how much money did you put towards it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do to make sure the experience was better?
And what I want the schools to understand is that we cannot rely on state funding. Like, that should be somewhere in a reserve.
Right.
We should be able to.
That should be bailout money.
Yes. And we got to get it. You got to get there, y'all. We got to get there.
So why don't you, because you're very passionate about things
mm-hmm.
when it comes to Albany State. But out of the thousands, how many are just as passionate as you?
It is a few. It is. I'm a part of of course the alumni group in on Facebook. And I mean, it is, and people are doing their parts, but then sometimes people get discouraged because they just don't think, you know, everybody's putting forth the effort, or you know,
because the numbers know, are showing. Because the numbers are showing.
And here, yeah, and, or if, something
but if
happened,
people stop
and then
worrying
they don't
about
wanna,
what somebody else is doing and just do their part.
And that's what we have started doing. We have just our family, the ones that didn't finish but attended, or either they're just a supporter of the mm-hmm. school. We have just started sending our money.
Yeah.
We just continue to send our money. So when it's a Giving Tuesday, or when they are just doing some kind of fundraiser, we try to send something every time. And I think majority of us, if it's $25 here, $50 there, $100. And what I found out is my employer in the past and the employer now, if I send money, they will match.
That's good.
So now that as soon as I send it, I put, this is my employer, and they sent me a letter saying that they matched, and I am grateful
nice.
For that.
So yeah. because yeah. we have this platform, mm-hmm. I'm going to encourage our listeners, if you tithe and offer in your community like I do,
mm-hmm.
to Cash App, our Cash App, 1903, so we can send to Albany State, because that's what I'm going to be doing today.
Aww. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. So I pick something to do every week in my community. Mm-hmm. I go to the grocery store. I buy gift cards, Food Lion gift cards.
Yep.
And,
we both.
Sometimes I leave them with the cashier. Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, if somebody ain't got all their money today, just give that to them. And they're like, you're so nice. You're so sweet. You do this every week. Right. Because there's somebody going to come in here hungry.
Right.
And they can't feed themselves.
Right.
So even if it's buying a sandwich for somebody, I tithe into my community every week. And Albany State is a part of my distant community. My best friend went to Albany State. So that's going to be my community tithe.
And even if you have HBCU in your area, like I support all the HBCUs around here, because I until they play my school, because then play my school, I'm not going to support you. All right. Until it's over and we win. Now, if y'all beat us, I'll suck a little bit and then I'll go back to support. But I just feel like, just show them some love, man, because they need, like, anytime. Because I think we're probably about to approach the May of Giving. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's Giving Tuesday here in May, here in our state, and where the Midlands will give to your nonprofit.
Yeah, it's the first Tuesday in May.
Yeah, I think it's the first Tuesday in May. And so I would definitely look into, because all HBCUs, all schools have foundations, and there's a lot of HBCUs in this state that we record in. I'm sure they'll probably be a part of that, especially the ones in the Midlands and the two HBCUs, you know, Allen and Benedict. So, you know, just look at that. I'm sorry for getting on the soapbox, y'all.
You're fine. You're fine. But I wanted to, because you mentioned if you wanted to give to our podcast for a Giving Tuesday, you mentioned the 1903. Mm-hmm. I want to let everybody know that the Cash App is $VN Podcast.
That is so sweet, y'all. I'm gonna talk about
THEVN Podcast.
Because you said it like Megan Thee Stallion, and she got two E's.
Okay,
right?
I ain't
want them to get.
Okay,
I appreciate you all. I have been approached to start a alumni association here in the state. I got to pray on it, because I got a lot of stuff. I already finished up something. I had too many, what is it?
Irons
in the fire. Y'all, I had to. So I am praying about it, and I'll see.
Okay.
Maybe not 2024, 2025, maybe 25. 26.
So let me tell y'all to support you in that journey.
A lot of Albany State alum that live here in Columbia, because of course, as soon as I see them, I start screaming, "Go Rams!" And you know, we all just hung and all that. And plus, great Mike White, who was the head coach of Albany State for years, he came to Benedict and coached Benedict prior to Coach Barry. He's no longer there anymore. Anyway, and he brought a lot of people from Albany State up here when he left Albany State and came to Benedict. So it's just a lot of people.
I hope you find the strength to do that, because you are just such like. So I say how me and my best friend are so much alike, but so different. Like, she is able to bring people in to fundraise and do things. What was you doing for Makari? Weren't you the sunshine mama?
Not the sunshine, excuse me. Football. Was the booster club.
No, what was the name of it?
Football club, TDC. Touchdown Club.
She was in the Touchdown Club. She's a fundraiser so much. Like, my friend, my bestie, is like the best fundraiser and gathering people together and unifying people. And I'm just so the opposite. I don't give a damn about none of this. You do what you want to do.
But you know what?
I don't care. See, I'll give and do, I don't want to be. I don't want to be the unifier, because I know the minute y'all get the acting fool and then don't want to do right, I'm gonna be like, you know what? Fuck this, because I'm trying to help.
I'm trying to help these bitches
do this, and y'all just don't want to fucking do right. And I get like, I done went from
but you
mad
know what
to sad to fuck it.
But you know what, though? Mm-hmm. I have you all who always support me, too. So that's what makes it easy. Mm-hmm. And I know and my other friends like Paula, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Renelle, Tanya, all of them. Like, I know the people that love community.
Yes.
So when you know people that love community, mm-hmm. and we're doing stuff behind the scenes that people have no idea that we're doing, right. I already know and say, hey, y'all, this is what I got going on. Y'all give and just come on.
Right.
You know, hey, but it's easier when you know people are just as compassionate as you. Yep.
So you just got to get your tribe.
So, yeah, you do. You
your
have
circle.
To. Yeah.
Because then I'm over there recruiting
because you can't,
more people.
Because you can't, right. Because you can't be the only one. So you can have a tribe, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you can't be the only one in your tribe that's vocal.
Right.
Like,
right.
You need your tribe to go out. Okay, send a message, tribe.
Right.
Because if you're the only, so if you got just a bunch of people watching you, but they're not delivering a message, mm-hmm.
What good is it?
You're kind of working against yourself.
Yeah, what good is it?
You can't do everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't.
So you got to have
people. And I know of people that do everything, and then that's when you just get burned out.
Yeah. And you got to have a platform.
And you have to have a platform.
Like a podcast. Like a social media presence. Mm-hmm. Like.
And see, y'all's social media presence is more than mine, because I think I just completely have given up.
Yeah, you got too much going on. I look at her page for the music. I look to see if my friend is working out. Like this is why we're the crazy sexy cool, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's gonna be things that our listeners and people love about Sue.
Mm-hmm.
It's more to me, she say everybody love y'all. I have more friends. I think people like her more than mm-hmm. they like me.
Don't like me.
Because I am so brash in the way I come, but that's just, they don't know me like that. So, and I feel like she's a little more easier to stomach than I am.
Mm-mm. Well, I don't think a lot of people like me either.
No, and you,
serious.
You the butterfly.
But no. I don't think.
But see, let me tell you why they don't like you, Vaughn. They don't like you because no,
I need to hear this.
Yeah. No, I'm serious, because when jealous people see something in somebody else that they want to be and they can't see themselves doing, it unnerves the fuck out of them. Why the fuck she so happy?
I'm telling you.
Why the fuck is she just
heard that before?
I'm telling you.
But you know what? It's
I'm telling that, you, but that just
guess what?
But that
is so over my head. That don't mm-hmm.
right.
I don't. Been,
it does. It should like, bother
it's
you.
Like mm-mm. me. Like,
but that's right. Yeah. So that's
it
what I'm thinking.
Bother you.
So you thinking? I'm thinking to myself too. Why is it people who don't like me? I unnerve people. My unapologeticness, mm-hmm. my mouth, my position to dismiss. Girl, fuck you. It's motherfuckers who wish they could talk like me. Who wish they could act like me, but. It's not politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who don't like Sue because of the fact that she don't even try. Sue is like something about Mary. What the fuck is it about this bitch that everybody likes? And Marsha.
You know
why
what?
Don't they? I'm
thank
trying
you for
to
that.
Tell you.
I was trying. You know what? But somebody else told me that too a couple of weeks ago,
yeah.
And they was like, "But what? You don't have to. You don't.
You don't
have
even
to
have
do,
to try.
You don't.
You don't have
you don't.
To do everything."
You don't even have to try.
You like the lady. She picked her purse up and said, I got it.
And
go.
See, you got to have friends like me who mm-hmm. love your light that you don't even have to try. And people love you for that. And I love that about you. And I love that light in you. But you're going to have a hater over there who's going to be like,
hey,
why do they like her? See, them motherfuckers, we got to keep at bay. I don't even want you in my space, nigga. We got to keep the people looking at Vaughn like, why are you happy? Bitch, why you ain't happy?
Right.
Why you ain't happy?
Life is much too
why
short.
Why aren't you happy for her? That she's happy? It don't bother me that Vaughn is happy all the time. I just be like, look
I
at Vaughn.
It.
I said, look at Vaughn happy it, ass
but
over there.
You know
she don't
what?
Care about nothing.
It gives you a boost.
Yes.
But see, that's the people you need to, you know, because when you're got... Like I always say, if I'm not the 92%, I'm that 8%, then I need to look at Vaughn and say, okay, the 8% is rising. I may be up to 15 now. You know, to have that, you got to have somebody there.
Yes.
And it has to be reciprocated.
But you have to love people for who they are and where they are. And love yourself. Be okay with yourself
for where
to
you
say,
are at.
I'm not something about Mary. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy-go-lucky. I am the little grim reaper with the little dark humor, and I fucking love that about me. I do.
But not only that, you have to sit back and that person has to say, well, why am I not happy? Why am I, you know, X, Y, and Z, and figure yourself out.
But see, I am I'm a happy person.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying. But you're gonna have the people who feel like my dark humor and my, you know, my little disposition or the mysteriousness about me, because I am a Scorpio, they think that that's something that should be frowned upon, and it's not. I don't want to be like y'all. Right. I don't want to be content with going along to get along.
So why envy that?
That ain't what you want to do. So why are you mad at me because I'm doing it? I've looked at the women before me who've talked like me. I look at the Jennifer Lewis's that act like me, and I say, I love this bitch. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not afraid to say exactly what she wants to
say. She was on The Masked Singer. I'm sorry. She was on The Masked Singer. And I think she made it up until, I think they're about in the final round now.
She can sing her ass off.
Yes. And everybody, because I was like, who is this little cat? And when they lifted, I said, look at there. That was Jennifer Lewis.
Could you tell in her voice it was her?
Not really, but then I said, yeah, that did kind of sound like her. But some people did. They was like, they called her the mom from Blackish, but yeah.
But she was a singer first before she was an actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes they vocally train themselves to sound a little different. Yeah. Look, Michelle A damn sure don't sound like what she talk like.
That girl can blow.
Her and what's the other lady that was in Waiting to Exhale?
Her voice gone. Loretta Devine?
Yeah, she started out on Broadway.
She is.
Sheryl Lee Ralph did too.
Yeah. She was Dream Girl. Yeah. Wasn't Sheryl Lee Ralph one of the original Dream Girls too?
And Loretta Devine. Sheryl Lee Ralph and Loretta Devine.
Yeah, okay.
Because she was Effie. Loretta Devine was Effie.
I can't remember.
Or was it Jennifer Hudd?
I think it was Jennifer Holliday. I think it was Jennifer Holliday.
So who was Loretta Devine? Was she Dina? Now I gotta look it up.
I don't know. I told y'all the last show. Dumb niggas need beds.
I'm sorry, y'all.
So I'm the ADD-er on the show.
Yep.
I'm the ADD-er on the show. I've taken my medicine this morning.
Well, I didn't.
So I'm going to just need them to get on some meds because in their old age, yes. So there's a medicine.
I'm like Amanda Seals. I self-diagnose myself.
Oh, my God. Did you see the interview
Loretta
with her?
Loretta Devine was what's the one that liked Jimmy? Jimmy wanted a piece of chocolate cake.
Larell.
Yeah.
Okay. Jimmy wanted a piece of your chocolate cake. Jimmy got sold. Okay. All right. We got to get back on track.
I'm sorry. I apologize about that. But yeah, congratulations on the draft. Congratulations to Xavier Leggett. I think he's going to be one of the top rookies in the NFL that everybody loves.
And young ladies, right. I need y'all to know who these little boys in it. Not to say you need to be sack chasers, the boy on BMF called a little girl a sack chaser. So I'm going to tell y'all a story. Back in, I don't know if it was 98, 99, I don't know. My cousin went and got married in Boston, right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I got to tell the story. My cousin went and got married in Boston.
I told my son the story, too.
I was not an avid basketball watcher at that time. I wasn't. So me and one of the bridesmaids, we go to this club, and these guys are talking to us in the club. And I'm like, there's some really big dudes. They kind of dress a little funny looking. But, okay, they buying drinks, so let's drink. So, you know, the guy, he's approached me and he's like, yeah, so you're here in town. What you here for? A wedding. My name is Aunt, and I just moved out here from California with my job. And I'm from, I think he was, I don't know where the fuck he was from at the time. But he's just telling me his whole life and he's talking. And the whole time I'm looking at him, he got on a leather jacket, this little plaid shirt, Converse. I was like,
little funny looking dressing.
I want you to pause real quick.
Yes.
See, number one is at whatever age that was, he moved out here from California for his job. Should have been. But go ahead.
I'm not thinking. Like at that point in time, what? I'm 21, 22.
Okay.
I'm not thinking like, okay. So, and I'm just thinking he's telling me a bunch of unnecessary information. So the other guy's over there talking to my friend. And, you know, we just kind of, all right, cool. We finish off the night. So he's like, hey, you want to just kick it some more? I was like, no, I'm good. Thank you. I'm going home Sunday. So bye. So next day is the wedding. We go back to the hotel to change clothes because we might want to go out that night, right? The basketball game is playing on the TV. So the other young lady who I was with in the wedding, she was like, Yoshi, look at the fucking TV. The girl was talking to Antoine Walker. I was talking to Paul Anthony Pierce.
And he went by Ant.
So none of this was making sense until I seen them big long legs running. I told this nigga I wasn't. In the rest, somebody take me down to the fucking arena.
So this is when the Celtics was on top of the game.
I know.
So I
they had just gotten drafted.
I told my son about this. I said that could have been Auntie Yoshi's husband. He talking about how. Long story.
I would have made him fall.
Long story.
And that is why I tell her she needs
but
to pay
attention.
But
that's why I should. Right. So, young ladies.
It's that everybody that walk past you.
Not attention just sports. To sports. Pay
people
attention to the men who
technology,
play sports.
Fortune 500.
Especially if they say they move. Well, because, okay.
Cross country.
Allen Iverson was drafted the same year, right?
Mm-hmm. But you've met Allen.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know Allen Iverson. And I watched the draft. But how did I miss them two niggas?
Because you was just focused on Allen Iverson because that's the person you
know. Yeah. So I was like, anyway, y'all, pay attention. Do what you're supposed to do. I mean, not do what you're supposed to do, but
it's nothing wrong with having a conversation.
Get out of it.
And change your phone number because you never know.
Right. Don't be so quick to rule out somebody is wasting your time because this could be the opportunity of a lifetime. And you just pass.
I want you to use your own words.
I am. What did I tell
you? I want you to use your own words.
Even after last night, going through the journey of life, I am learning to stop saying what I don't like, what I don't want to do, what is, oh, this
look
is just going to be.
I love it.
About damn time. About damn time.
You can kiss my. Look, we all have to learn. Even if I learned it at 47, I am learning.
That's right.
To just take life all in and let things happen organically. Mm-hmm. Namaste.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I had to Reiki myself sometimes.
So while we were sitting here, we got a little text message.
What's the text message?
Move on into the show.
Oh, well, shit.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead on and put that clip. I changed it up. So put the clip on. Let's talk about it.
Niggas who got daddy seem a little bit more cooler, a little bit more collected than the niggas who cute like their mamas.
How do we move towards a place where black men aren't so emotional?
You can't. You can't, homie, because the only way you cannot be emotional is you have to have a father who teaches you and trains your emotion. Other than that, your mama, you have to be emotional because that's the only time your mother whoops you. You got no spankings when your mother was calm and not emotional. So that's why you're emotional. You were disciplined with emotions. You weren't disciplined with logical rules to follow. You got spanked when you were frustrated. You didn't get spanked calmly and taught while you were being spanked. So you can't undo this, homie. What's done now, we can't undo this. We'll be dead and gone before we see a new group of men that don't respond like us.
As a black man, what can I instill in a young black boy to make sure that he doesn't respond with emotion?
Treat his mother right and train your child's emotions. So you mean you have to spend time with your son. You gotta spend a lot of time with your son. He gonna be the cool nigga who friends follow him because he cool like his daddy. They gonna be cute like they mama. Way they dress, way they look, but he gonna be cool like his daddy.
And so I'm gonna let y'all talk first, since y'all are the two with young men.
Well, he said something where he said you got beaten when you were frustrated. I don't know if he meant to say when the child was frustrated or if the parent was frustrated.
I think he was referring to the parent.
Okay, because he didn't say it that way. And he said,
"Well, he's talking to the moderator. He say you got beat
when you were frustrated."
Well, I think at some level of discipline, when the parent is frustrated, the child is frustrated too. Maybe they don't know why the fuck they're doing.
Now, if you're getting beaten for no reason, that's something different.
I don't.
But in the then,
so that would be frustrating to them.
That can be frustrating. Yeah,
because why am I getting beat? Because how many parents have beat their children based on their frustrations in life? Plenty.
But I didn't like the fact that he's making it seem like men shouldn't be emotional. Because men need to be emotional.
That was my point that I don't like about it. It's like, it's okay to be emotional.
It's okay.
It's okay to cry. It's okay to be mad. It's a time and a place for all of that.
It's how you do it, though.
Yeah, but not, you know, because he's making it seem like boys can't be emotional. And that is opposite.
And they're learning it from their mothers.
Yes, but I would love to hear this entire...
He did say train his emotion.
Yeah, but sometimes even when you train it, you just said organic. It's gonna come organically. And just because you respond is one thing one way, I may respond to it a different way.
And then how many men hold back their emotions because of the fear of their loved ones or their significant other to judge them in their vulnerability of being emotional?
Well, I don't think he was talking about it in that sense. I think more so he was talking about decisions being led by emotions.
Right. Okay.
I think it's more just making decisions out of emotion,
right,
rather than decisions out of logic. And I think this is what I got out of it. I got out that, as a man, this is what I took out. I took that men do a better job of raising their sons to think more logically than those that are raised predominantly, where it's just women. They don't have a male figure in their life to kind of balance that out. Because I do think that a mother does bring a level of empathy. It teaches you how to be empathetic, teaches you how to be sensitive to certain situations. There's that there. But I think what he's talking about is when it's overly done, where there is no balance, in that dad is more logical and he's gonna, the majority of us, because some of us do display these same traits that he is talking about, where we do not make our decisions out of logic. We make them more out of emotion, and our emotions control what we do more so than our logical side of thinking as a man. And that's what I got out of it.
And that's why you have women, you know, being categorized as being emotional, and you have men categorized as being more logical and, you know.
But when men show their emotions, sometimes, and we've said it, they said that they're sassy or they're F boy or something like that. Some men just show their emotions because they're in touch with their emotion. It's okay.
I don't have an issue with a man showing his emotion. It's to me how he comes,
It's the attitude that comes with it.
Like the entitlement sometimes that comes with it, the disregard for the other person based off of, this is what I want. So I'll say this, as a woman, I tend to look at women to be a little more selfish when it comes to, well, I want, but then also women are pleasers. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? So you have two spectrums of women, just like you have men, and they can be on different spectrums where you have the ones who are entitled and I want this and you're supposed to do this for me and this. And then you have these more submissive, subservient men who just like, I just want to make her happy. I just want to do this for, I just want to, you know, I want her to sit back and I want to take care of her. I don't think we always pair people up properly to the person that they're designed to be with.
You see what I'm saying? So then when you're not paired properly, you tend to bring a different emotion out of the other person, and it's just intensified. Prime example, if you have a very emotional man, right? But you got this hard ass woman. She don't know how to live in her soft girl era. That's not a good pair. Because what are you going to do? You're going to be on his ass. Why are you crying all the time? Why the fuck? What is wrong with you? Why is this? Why is that? Nag, 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 right. Nag, nag. Dig, 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 dig. And he is, it's the same fussing that my mama did when I was growing up. And it's this and it's that. And you're attacking me. And you're not. So now she's looking at, God damn it. You little punk, faggot, shut up. Like, why you, but look what you're doing to him. So it's.
No, y'all, I'm laughing because the first, I don't know what made me think of Norman and Retribution.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. That's a great example. Norman and Retribution did not need to be together.
No, they
needed to be with.
I don't know what's
the name, y'all.
This is not even one of my favorite movies, okay? As soon as Yoshi started talking, that's why I got tickled. Because I'm like, why am I thinking of Norman and Retribution?
What was the little girl who Norbit liked?
I can't think. See, I don't even know.
I'm talking about Miss Pretty, but that's off of...
That's the Nutty Professor.
Yeah, if y'all know who the other girl was, no. I'm not
I
sure.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, but it happens. But then Norbit, you know, he built himself up and he got him some, you know...
Well, Norbit was
emotional or was no. Norbit just responding
he
to being
very,
bullied?
I think he
was
bullied.
He was bullied. He was bullied by Retribution, her brothers. He did.
He loved.
No. He really, no. Norbit really didn't love Retribution. Retribution was his savior.
But she protected him how to stand up
for himself.
For himself and how to conquer his fears of her.
I love that example, that's the perfect couple I thought about, like Norman and Retribution.
But can we take it on the flip side and find the woman who becomes empowered by the man who also bullied her? Like, what's the Tyler Perry movie with the girl and Charles, she put Charles in the bathtub.
Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Yeah, Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Okay, what's Kimberly Elise?
That's her name. That's her real
she's
name.
She's this but... meek, mild, I just want to take care of you. I just want to do what you need me to do. Da-da-da-da. He fuck her over. You know what I'm saying?
New girlfriend and the child.
Right. But then when shit goes all to hell, she's the one who steps in and she takes care of him as his wife, but not only does she come in and take care of him, now, nigga, I got the upper hand.
Right. You wipe the sweat off my brow.
So you done bullied the beast in me. So in bullying the beast in him, in her, now it's time for her to move on and love somebody else.
Yeah.
But she's resistant to it.
And that's
because
what
she
don't, happens.
Because
that happens
she doesn't
in
want to, she doesn't want anybody to hurt her again
right?
Like he has. Mm-hmm. So you see what I'm saying? It's like, damn, when are we ever gonna meet?
But I blame her because all her life she did everything for him. She did not have an identity. And that's the problem. We get into these
relationships
and we lose our own identity. And now you have become our sole focus. To the point where when you get ready to leave, I have nothing. Like, she didn't even know bank accounts. She didn't have nothing.
Mm-hmm. But how many men have done that? Done the exact same thing. Walk away. Because you think about it. Most women, when they walk out with the kids. They keep the house. They basically like, all right, nigga, get out. Or if you don't want to be here, you get out and start over. Most men that leave their marriages, whether it's by his own will or by her own will, they're the ones who have to leave and start over from scratch.
Yeah, but I'm seeing an increase in the woman leaving and the man getting a lot.
Because, you know, men, from my understanding, men don't file for divorce. Women do.
Yes, majority of the
time.
Yeah,
a man would not file for a divorce unless he has moved on
and ready to start his new life.
They're
Because
men don't normally, men don't leave.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, I ain't gonna say that, but
they'll leave. But you know, they won't leave the marriage.
Men leaving is
a lot of white men definitely don't leave. They just stay and have a mistress, and you know.
And then she'll find out, and you know, he'll probably take on a nice little trip or something, mm-hmm. and smooth it over.
I would love to hear the entire conversation clip because, of course, you know, now we're in the era where they only have this portion, mm-hmm. and everybody's up in an uproar.
Right.
I would like to hear the entire, you know, podcast
because I didn't like what I heard. I didn't care for it.
So there's the understanding thing. So what y'all got from it and didn't agree with, I totally took it in as, because I'm quick to call a nigga sassy. Mm-hmm. But it gave me a better understanding as to why he might be sassy.
And then you got to think about generations prior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the emotional connection is with the man, or the woman. Because think about it. If you had a hard mom growing up, mm-hmm. very, very hard, mm-hmm. you're probably going to end up either taking the trait that she had, or you're going to say, I'm not going to be this way. I'm going to be more emotional with mm-hmm. my child, because some parents, some women did not have an emotional connection with Mm-mm. their mother. Mm-mm. And it was all hard, hard, hard. So it can be, the roles can reverse.
Somebody just told me they really embraced, like they hugged their mom for the first time in their 40s. In 50s.
Wow.
Like they just really hugged their mom, like just like a full embrace. Like maybe it was a, oh, I love you mom, like that, but they said it and it felt the connection.
Wow.
It felt it made them so emotional they started crying.
Cuz back then parents weren't raised to hug and kiss.
Right.
And tell their kids they love them.
Right.
My mother said she couldn't wait to have a bunch of children that she could hug on and love on, because she, as a child, felt so unloved and so like, I don't belong here.
My mom said the same thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
that's, because she came from a unhealthy dynamic.
So I think we're all, we put on our children what, and as a child, mm-hmm. I felt like there were so many things that I did without. Mm-hmm. So why I showered my daughter with everything. Yep. I gave her everything humanly possible that she didn't even ask for, because but here we are, not loving in people's love language. My daughter didn't want all that. My daughter wanted her mom home. She didn't want me working 2 and 3 jobs. That's not to say I wasn't present, because I was at every soccer game. I was at every chorus performance. Mm-hmm. I was everywhere, but I wasn't home. I wasn't in the house. I didn't make dinners. I picked her up from school because mm-hmm. I didn't want her to ride the bus, and I dropped her off. I gotta go to my other job.
Mm-hmm.
So I was there for events, but I wasn't there in the house. I probably helped my daughter out with her homework maybe 5 or 10 times. My daughter was always smarter than me. I was like, I don't know how to do this shit.
Right.
Can you go ask your dad?
I mean, to be honest, that's fair.
But I can mm-hmm. own as a mother. Mm-hmm. I wasn't as present as I should have been, because I was so busy trying to get the money to buy the things that I thought was going to make her happy. Right. So, and I think children need the acknowledgement of mom.
But when it came down to the discipline, were you emotional with her or were you logical?
I think I was more logical, because I wasn't a beater. I'm not one of them mamas that beat and put on punishment. I was more one of them like, why are you doing this? Like, you don't even have to do this.
Yeah, I didn't have
or
to beat.
Or I was like, hey, if you yeah. want something maybe once or you want me to, all you gotta do is come talk to me. Like, I'm a cool mama. Like, I ain't your friend.
Right.
But let's talk about this. So I was always the, why are you doing this? What's mm-hmm. going on with you?
I also think it's harder when you have multiple children and you're being stretched mm-hmm. in many different directions, because each child has its own personality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Each mm-hmm. child has its own way of dealing with mm-hmm. emotions and yep. frustrations. And so as a single parent or yep. two-parent household, but whoever spends the most time with the children can either get burnt out That burnout can lead to frustration, emotional emotional burnout. And then guess what? All the kids getting it because of one simple mistake or that person made that should have been a logical conversation that said, well, why did you do it? Versus lashing out. So I just think that the household dynamic has a lot to do with how the parents.
But that goes back to what Sue was talking about with the adult child that got the hug for the first time. I didn't want to have a lot of kids. Like my mother being the only child wanted to have a lot of kids so she could shower her love. I didn't feel like I got enough of my mother. So that made me only want to have one because I want to give you everything I got. But in still giving you everything I got, I gave you material. I didn't give you time. So, yeah. What was you about to say?
I was just thinking when Vaughn was talking, I was thinking about me and my brothers. We were all three of us was just raised differently. Like, even though I think my parents, their approach was just up and down. Like, I could see Eric was raised totally different. I know I was raised totally different because I was that child that got it. I was the trouble child. I was the trouble child. You know, I think I was the one that they probably got most of their gray hairs from. And then there was Jonathan, like smooth sailing. You know, yeah, and he didn't ask for much.
But honestly, you can't raise every child the same because they're all different personalities.
Right, well, and some people try though. Some people try, and they're strict and structured, and you're gonna be right. And then the child, yes, and then they're like, I don't understand. You know, all three of you all were raised in the same home, and sometimes children, everybody turns out different.
Right.
But like, I just think that I think you have to, now that we have love languages identified, I don't know if they were identified when we was growing up, but now that the love language has been identified and more communication is out there now and consistency, I think.
And therapy.
Yes. And therapy. And I'm so glad the black and brown community are really, you know, they're going into this thing. Like, okay, yeah, maybe therapy isn't bad. We can go and talk to somebody else about our problems.
Family therapy. Don't just go to individual therapy.
Oh, yeah. Do it both. Do both.
Because remember, we were having the conversation like, you beating a child, but why are you beating them?
Right.
Why aren't y'all having the conversation? I don't care if you say, why do I keep saying things over and over again? You still have to. Every time
understand
you beat them,
why do I
keep beating you for the same thing? Something is not getting through. But before we leave out on this show, I do want to say this. We talked about love languages. We talked about, you know, the little boy responding a little better to having a cool dad in the house versus, you know, being in the cute mom situation. And, you know, we can agree to disagree on that and take parts of that. But I feel like parents shouldn't have children when they're not emotionally ready. Number one, I don't think people should have children to fill a void in their life because how is that benefiting the child? Like, you're not ready for me. You're not financially ready. You're not emotionally ready. You're not mentally ready if you're just having me in response to filling a void within you. You see what I'm saying? I think we get into parenting before we.
But what if that saves that person life?
What?
Having that child under the pretenses of the void, filling the void.
But what if that filled your void, but now the child has a void because you're not able to give them what they want? Is that fair to them?
No, it's not fair, but you should be able to, if you are saying, I want a child because I want to fill this void, you need to make sure that you're able to equip that child with everything that child needs, not just because there's a void.
But how often do we see people who we know should not have had any children?
It's the ones that shouldn't be having kids having the kids, and the one that want kids can't have kids. Right.
Exactly. Because I had to explain to a young man the other day when he was telling me about his girlfriend having miscarriages. I said, this is nature's way of telling you, y'all ain't ready.
Not really.
Stop going against nature.
And it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's unfortunate. And I know it's very traumatizing, but maybe it just wasn't.
And then
time.
When she get with right. somebody else, she flourishes. Right. Or he mm-hmm. may flourish.
That pregnancy didn't work out because that wasn't the nigga or that wasn't the woman.
Right.
You were supposed to spend the next 18 years dealing
and
with.
And not saying thankful like that, but, you yeah. know, count your blessings.
Sometimes you got to
because
be
you mm-hmm. just don't know what. The child would have walked into.
Right.
What type of situation?
Hell on earth. And, you know, and a child deserves a fighting chance in life. Mm-hmm. All children deserve a fighting chance.
Yes. Yep. Most definitely.
All children should be able to know who their mother and their father are. And know who they come from. And I got this from my mom. I got this from my dad. And yeah, I see this in my dad and my mom. And I don't want none of that shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good feeling to want a child and lose the child. It's definitely not a good feeling. But sometimes we just have to look at situations, look at circumstances. It wasn't time. It just wasn't time.
Universal
it wasn't law. My time. It wasn't. It was God's timing. Yeah. So that's, you know, you kind of got to look on the flip side of the situation to say it wasn't time just yet.
And then while we're on time, because we almost out of time, let's talk about how even though we start out one way, we can always fix it.
Yes.
See how that
it's
hug happened in
late.
The 40s?
Yep.
That's all that baby was
it's
waiting
never
on.
Never too late.
That's yep. all that baby
it's
was waiting
never
on.
Never too late. That's it.
And that's probably all they ever wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Was
that's
a hug.
It.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, everyone, that concludes our show for today. You can always catch us on all episodes, streaming platforms at The Very, V-A-R-Y, Necessary Podcast. You can always catch us on our website, never miss an episode, at The Very, V-A-R-Y, Necessary Podcast.com.
Hey. All right. Hey, y'all, I want to do something a little different ending here. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So if you're feeling down and depressed and you just need somebody to talk to, call your employer and see if you have EAP. You may have some free sessions that you can take advantage of, or you can always anywhere in the country call 988 and somebody can help you.
And me, 988. Okay.
Yep.
Not 911, but 988.
Yeah, 988.
Chew. Yep.
Don't you worry about it, bitch. I know somebody like you.